Blake and Spin get the job done. Blake. When there's no hope in sight, crash, crash, dummies will make things right.
Night, night.
Slick and Spin, and you could stop in. The best man for the job is a dummy.
Crash, crash, dummies.
Late, late, night, night gamers. Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 23. I'm Nick Persnowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
All right. I just wanted to see how long I could be silent.
I know, that's why I loved it. I, like, realized that. That's what made me laugh. I thought it was very meta.
Steve Morgan.
Winamp, it really kicks the llama's ass.
And Charles Caldwell. And Charles is sick this week.
Charles almost, is on life support.
Yeah. He's taken a half bottle of NyQuil, and it's only a matter of time before he goes.
Oh no, it's not even the good stuff. It's not the liquid, it's the pill, the giant horse pill that I have to swallow. I wish it was NyQuil.
Was it a suppository?
Like, no, but I wish it was the liquid, because then I could be like Hibernol and just like drown in it.
I've never heard anyone wish they had to take the suppository.
Speaking of that, actually, I heard that on, like, the rectal thermometers, I don't know if this is true because I haven't verified it, but I heard on the rectal thermometer it says on the package,
you haven't tried it out?
Well, I didn't say that.
I haven't confirmed or verified.
I heard that on the packaging it says, each one is personally tested and sanitized. Can you just imagine working at that place? That's got to be the worst job.
Yep, my temperature's good.
Yeah, this one works. What do you do all day? I just shove thermometers on my ass to make sure they work.
Can't be that hard of a job.
Stress test number 8.
I mean, you just probably just watch TV the whole time. Right?
You need to keep a verbal log of your actions. Test number 1. The thermometer is 0.25 centimeters in diameter.
My anus is 0.25 centimeters dilated.
It's wrong.
This is a rough conversation.
Wait, what have I created?
What have I
done? Okay, so if we're particularly delirious this episode, it's because we're recording at 11 p.m., which is about five hours later than we normally do. Five hours. Yep. So yeah, we're legitimately a late night gamers podcast at this point.
And also, Charles is on medication, so he's literally delirious.
Yeah, he is literally delirious. And he's going to sneeze. He's told us this. He warned us before the podcast that this is going to happen.
And since my nose has been bloody because it's been blowing it a million times, I'm going to sneeze blood all over the camera.
You're going to be screaming.
Seriously, the Super Bowl was a bloody show. I made the mistake of drinking one beer, and then I erupted like a volcano. Most high energy part of the night.
The most exciting thing and most entertaining thing was you.
Yep.
Sounds about right.
Yep. Most entertaining thing that happened to me today, I listed Need for Speed Rivals on eBay over the weekend, and the guy didn't pay me right away. So I looked at his profile. He was selling a PlayStation 4 box for $350. So I was like, okay, so this guy's probably not legit at all. And yeah. I sent a message to him on Sunday night, said, okay, item will be shipped once I receive payment. Thank you. I get a message today that says, fuck you, bitch.
What?
I was like, what?
You got rocked, dude.
I was like, okay, reported and relisted. Wow. Yeah. Terrible. Anyways, into some gaming news this week. The Pokemon Bank is now available in Europe. Which this is apparently like an online storage facility for all of your Pokemon across like I think you can store up to like 2,000 or 4,000 Pokemon. It's between like I think 5 of the Pokemon games, like Pokemon XY and a few of the other ones. I guess a bunch of people are excited about it. I don't play Pokemon enough to actually understand like the significance of this.
I mean, Steve, it just sounded like the company that owns Pokemon opened up the bank. What is happening? It's just online storage for your Pokemon.
Yeah, I thought this was like a brick and mortar bank that had like Pikachu and other Pokemon like there inside.
It's actually like an animal shelter.
You can't be out.
I mean, I think that's a pretty cool idea because there's not that many games where like where you know like interacts between separate titles. You know, I guess one of the few games that I can think of is like Mass Effect, where like you know your game from the first one will affect the second one and then affect the third one. But you know, be able to like transfer Pokemon between games is pretty cool.
Can you imagine starting out a high level, and then just cruising through the game?
Yeah, that's kind of. I mean, but at the same time, you don't have to, because every time they make a new game, they add like 10,000 new Pokemon. So it's like you don't want to have to train them all again.
Well, didn't they add like a whole new like evolution level to some of the newer games?
They may have. I don't know. I know like, they. When I played Pokemon, there were 100. I think it was 151 or 152 with Mew or whatever.
Mew
and now there's like. Now there's like 1,000 or something, and they have genders and all this crazy shit, and it's like, alright, this is too much.
They have transgenders. Gender benders. That'd get weird. That'd be confusing.
Androgynous.
I want them to put it like on like PC or some other platform so that I can play it without having to buy like this 3DS or whatever it's on now.
Currently, there are 718 Pokemon.
That's it?
I feel like the best part, though, is that like it's so goddamn confusing that it's like brand new. You're just like, I don't even know what the hell this Pokemon does. Like, shooting lightning out, but it looks like a leaf. Is it a water type? Like, no one knows. It's like 3 different types or something. Like, crazy.
Yeah, it's way too complicated now.
I thought it was ridiculous when it was 150.
The thing is, like, our little feeble child minds couldn't possibly comprehend 700 different guys.
I know. I was gonna say, is the motto still like "Gotta catch 'em all"? Like, that's like half impossible.
Just like, the motto is like, try and catch 'em all. You won't even remember 'em all. So
do your best to catch them all because you probably won't.
It's like find them all. If you can just see one of each of them, it's like counts.
It just turns into Pokemon Snap and just going around taking pictures of them.
Great.
Seriously, can you imagine a Pokemon Snap playing with 718?
Good God.
Couldn't go out of your mind.
You ever tried to like convince someone that Pokemon Snap was a great game? It's really hard.
Convince them? Yeah. It's a hard game.
No, it was a hard game. Trying to take pictures. You had to take pictures of like something that happened like for like a half a second.
You get to throw a ton of stuff at Snorlax.
Yeah, you had to throw things, and you had to throw things like in succession. Like you had to like throw something, hit something, and then like and then Pikachu would pop up later in the level because you hit him, and then you'd hit him to make him do something. Like, no, but the best part was like I tried to convince someone that this game was cool. Like they'd never played it, and I was like, no, it's awesome. And they're like, what do you do? I'm like, you take pictures of Pokemon. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah, you're on like a railroad track and you're driving, and then these Pokemon pop up like amusement park, and you take a picture of them, and you can like throw things at them and make them do things, and if they do cool things, you get more points, and then you can. And they're like, that sounds like really bad, and I'm like, yeah, it actually kind of does. Now that I like say it,
when I say it out loud, it does actually sound pretty bad.
But it was like such a great game.
But once you actually did the things, it was freaking sweet. Like when you eat Gyarados,
you feed one of the
freaking the hell are they called, Magikarp, and you feed one of the Magikarp finally, and Gyarados bursts out of the wall, and you're like, damn, sick.
You always miss the first shot, though. You're like, ah! You start taking pictures, and you miss them, then you have to do the whole thing again. Actually, you get the real picture of, because you take so many pictures, and then he spurts the water out or something, you didn't catch that.
Yeah. Didn't you have a max of how many pictures you could take? It was like 120 or something.
Something like that.
And you were like, you were on a track at all times. It's not like you were in a world like completely able to you know, move around and do whatever whenever you want. It was like you were on a track and you had to do stuff in a very time specific way. But it was a good game. It actually was a good game. And that was like before the internet was, you know, you could go on and just be like, okay, how do I get this Pokemon? It was like word of mouth and magazines. We had to wait actually a month for the next magazine to come out to talk about games.
I can remember like being in I think it was like EB Games or one of those places, looking at like the strategy guide for Pokemon Snap. Like, I was like, I'm not gonna pay for this, but I'll go and read it in the store and figure out where all the Pokemon
are. Oh yeah. Did you guys ever go into one of those stores and be like, "Oops, I accidentally ripped open this plastic and started looking at the magazine"? Because that definitely happened. But
the worst is when they used to put like games or like demo discs in the magazines, like PC Gamer.
Oh yeah,
people would just go and rip them open, take the demo disc out. You go to like buy one and you'd be like, "It doesn't even a disc in this thing. What's the like?" I never read the magazine. I just wanted the damn demo. So I was like, "This isn't even worth $0 right now."
They don't even have to, people don't even have to pay for that stuff anymore because it's just like, "Oh, I'll just go to Steam and I'll download the demo."
I know.
Are demos even really common anymore? I don't see a lot of
them. I haven't played a demo in like 15 years.
No.
It's pretty close. I hardly ever really play demos.
I mean, the new demo is just the beta and alpha.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. I played a demo for Don't Starve. I was telling you about that game. It's like it's kind of like Terraria or something, and they had like a time-dependent demo where you could only play 10 minutes, which is really frustrating. And like, you know, in a sandbox game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you just constantly get a little bit farther because you start to expertise, like you start to get like really good at it. But no matter what, like you can't get that far, so it just keeps like giving you. It's like a demo that keeps giving you more every time, but you just never really get to go past it. So, and there's still some demos up, but I agree. I miss demos, man. I hate early access. You know how I feel about that.
You can still download demos off of, like, I think Xbox Live and PSN and stuff. That's but cool. I just don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's always like, it's just better because, like, back then you could try a game and if you liked the game, you could buy the game. Now it's like,
right.
Now it's like you either have to play the game when it's shit and it's not even complete and then you have a terrible perception of it or vice versa. Like, you think it's not complete but you like it and then you find out that it was done and there's nothing more to it. Or you have to just buy the game and, like, risk, like, playing it the way it is.
Yeah.
Or it's free to play, and then you buy little coins and make yourself look cool.
Right.
The 780th Pokemon is Zygarde.
Oh no.
Another topic or another news story from this week. Tim, do you want to discuss that?
Yeah. Apparently, Nintendo bought back about 9.5 million shares of its stock, which is about, looks like $1.1 billion worth. I guess it's, they've been having financial issues, so this has helped stabilize the company, but I guess it's good news in the grand scheme of things. Hopefully Nintendo will be around for a little bit longer. But I guess, looks like the year on net profit fell by 30%. In the final 9 months of 2013. So that's pretty huge.
Yeah, the I guess this past week too, the Wii U sales projections, they were projecting like 8 million sales by the end of 2014, and they reduced that down to like 3 million.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, that's a huge loss right there.
Yeah.
But
It says here they're expected to post. They're expected to post a net loss of $242 million for the fiscal year ending in March.
Yeah.
So I mean, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I think they have like $10 billion in cash.
Yeah.
Nintendo as a company, but yeah. So is the president, is that, or the CEO, is that Satoru Iwata? Is that the guy? Is that his name?
I don't know. You mean the current CEO?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's Satoru. I don't know how to pronounce that. Satoru Iwata.
Because he was talking about, well, people were suggesting he should step down, but he decided not to step down and instead took, like, I think they took pay cuts.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't understand, like, okay, so he's done really good, like, I mean, the Wii was a super, super good seller for a console, and he makes, you know, this is I guess a mistake, maybe, but I don't see why you'd have to step down for that.
Yeah, I think, Nintendo's like this weird creature, you know, they kind of like, they don't follow the same trends, they kind of exist outside of the rest of the gaming world, so, I mean, I don't know, it's weird to, it's hard to predict, like, what would be successful for them, but, you know, the success of the Wii, it's like totally based on, I don't even know, it's like just such a weird thing, because if you look at like the other consoles, they were such a distant departure from the Wii, it's hard to like,
right,
figure out what it was about the Wii. I guess it was, you know, just appealed to a different crowd, and the original Wii was so cheap, you know, it was $100 less at least than all the other consoles, so.
Right.
I don't even know what the Wii U is selling for now, but
it also just dominated that whole motion action market.
Yeah,
that's true. There wasn't a market before they came along for it. I mean, not really.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully the, you know, we see the Wii U pick up a little bit this year, because there actually are some good games coming out, and we'll see though. We'll see what actually happens.
I will probably be buying one because of the new Zelda game, as I've already stated. That's the only game that really makes me buy a Nintendo console.
Right. Well, isn't, because Mario Kart and Super Smash Brothers, and I think a couple other ones are coming out too, so.
Yeah, and if you have a Wii, it's kind of nice since they use the same controllers, or hopefully, that's the idea.
That's right.
Cool. I would get a Wii U for, like, Mario Party or Mario Kart, one of those. I feel like that's, like, a fun game you can play with, like, drunk people.
Yeah. I want to play Mario Party. Like, I think I need to play Mario Party soon. Like, this just... It's been years. I think it's been since we were at Sam Henwood's house. and his little brother wanted to play Mario Party, and then we decided to stop, and we just pulled the controllers out and froze the game. It was terrible.
Those are the good old days of the floppy joysticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were all, like, flaccid. Every single one of them. Terrible. So another thing that was announced fairly recently was that the Elder Scrolls Imperial Edition is now, like, available for order.
Is this the Elder Scrolls Online?
Elder Scrolls Online, yeah.
Okay, sure.
And our question, or our topic this week, is do people still buy collectors or special editions of games? And if so, what is it that actually attracts people to do it? I personally have never bought a collector's edition of anything. What about you guys?
I was thinking about it. I don't think I've ever bought one.
No. I mean, there have definitely been ones where I've been like, do I want that? But then I'm like, oh, it's an extra $40. Like, and I don't want to spend that. $60 up to $100.
Yeah, some of them are really high, but some of them are close. Like, there's been some that I've been really close to getting, like, ones that are, like, they're 60, and then the collector's edition 70 or something, and they come with, like...
Yep.
Especially if it's a franchise or a game that you really, really like. Yeah, but I can't really think of it. I mean, I remember back in the day when, like, early editions came with things, and they weren't more expensive, and I have some of those,
right.
But, like... I don't know. I can't really think of ones either that I've bought. But I mean, like Tim said, I've had a couple that I've like really looked at and really came close to. But
yeah, I wish they did a lot of games now. I mean, like you said, Steve, like in the past, games in the past had given you like tangible items for pre-ordering and whatnot instead of and now you just see a lot of DLC and. You know, stuff that I'm not necessarily interested in, but I think the last thing that I got that was actually tangible is I pre-ordered Red Dead Redemption. I picked it up day one and got a pack of Red Dead Redemption playing cards, and that was actually pretty awesome.
I think it might have been Ultima Online, or maybe it was Morrowind or some game way back when, but it came with a cloth map, and this wasn't even the collector's edition, but it was like an actual like little map that you could roll up and use, which I thought was pretty cool. But like, there's such a almost every, at least PC wise, the vast majority of games are all digital distribution nowadays. So and there's been a few that have had like I think it might have been Guild Wars 2, or there was one that had like you could upgrade to the digital collector's edition. I was like, well, that defeats all purpose. I mean, I'm assuming you get something in the game, like like an item in the game, but to me, the whole point of getting a collector's edition is some, like, real-world physical item that you're going to get out of it.
Right.
Even if it's, like, if it's some stupid thing, I want to at least have something to, you know, make me feel like my extra $20 was worth it.
Yeah, I feel like, I think you can, I was looking on, PSN the other day, and I think you can get the Call of Duty Ghosts Hardened Edition, which is like $120, and you can get that online, and it's like, I don't want that. I don't want to spend $120 of my money on something that's I'm not going to enjoy any of.
Yeah, agreed. I think also too, it's like harder to justify digital things more so than. Unless you really, really enjoy it. Like, you have to
unless
really,
it comes
really
with a freaking expansion already in the game.
Sure.
In which case, it should already be included.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, in some cases, like, I think that's the difference between, like, collector's editions and limited edition. Because I know Battlefield 3 was the same way, and Battlefield 4, if you bought you could buy just the regular retail edition, or you could get the limited edition, and the limited edition... you would get the free, like, DLC map pack for free. Or the first DLC map pack for free. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, that's a decent buy, because if you're going to play them anyways, then, you know, it's like, I don't know what it is, $10? $5? It's $10, I think.
Yeah, I think with digital, you really can't have a collector's edition without some of that stuff already included, because it just doesn't...
Right.
Doesn't make it worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I will admit, like, although I've never bought a collector's edition, there have definitely been collector's editions where I've looked at them and I've been like, ooh. Like, I have this knack for collecting items. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, I just like to collect shit. Like, you know, and I see some of these... I wish I had the space where I could just display like these sweet figures, because a lot of the collector's edition figures are actually pretty awesome. But I don't know. I can't. I'm also like a bargain shopper and and spending $100 on an action figure that's going to sit on a shelf doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think for some people, too, it's also, like, developer loyalty. Like, if it's someone that you, a developer that you really like, you might be more likely to buy the collector's edition. Or if it's like a game in like a series, if you really enjoyed the first couple, you might be more likely to buy the collector's edition for the last one or something like that.
Right. Why don't we jump into some of what some of the listeners wrote in, and they told us what they think of collector's editions. And at Purple and Orange, he says, I haven't purchased a collector's edition in the past, but statues intrigue me. I'm super bummed I missed out on the Last of Us statue because now they're worth a lot of money. And that is true, because when they release these collector's editions, they say they're in extremely limited amounts. I don't know what that actually means. Like, is it like, 1,000, or is it like 10 million?
So is this like a physical statue? Like, how big was the statue?
It was like a, I mean, it was probably like a 6 or 8 inch statue. And I think it was of one of the clickers. I think that was a statue. Yeah. And that would have been a sweet statue to have, honestly. Like, some of these things, just to remember games that you actually really enjoyed. But that's the problem, is like, the collector's editions are only available at the very beginning, when you don't know if you like the game or not.
Yeah, that's why I feel like it's more likely. Like, I feel like a collector's edition is more likely to do better if it's a developer that has like established himself, you know?
Yeah,
definitely. Well, either that or like a chain. Like, I feel like if you played Morrowind and then Oblivion, you're more likely to get the collector's edition of Skyrim than otherwise, you know?
Right. Exactly. I think Corey Jackson actually feels the same way. He says, it depends on the game for me. I'm selective about which games I get special editions for and what games I even buy DLC for. As far as special edition games go, I am a sucker for art books and soundtracks. Art books? Soundtracks, we kind of discussed this a little before the podcast, but soundtracks don't appeal to us as much. But an art book? I could do an art book, because it would be like a really geeky, like, sweet coffee table book you could put down.
I think soundtracks really depend on the game. If it's a game that I know has good music, like Starbound does, or like Terraria, or like it's unique. Like, I mean, obviously, like, there's a lot of the Zelda games, they have really good, like, original sounds. Like, that's good. But when it's like, I don't know, sometimes on Humble Bundle, they'll be like, oh, you know, pay an extra $6, get the soundtrack for some game I've never played. I'm like, really? Mm. Like, I don't know. That's not really, like, appealing if I don't know, like, the story behind it. I'd rather have, like, a chocolate coin with something on it I don't know, and then at least I could eat it. So, you know, I don't know, it's just, like, that's just the way I look at it, sort of.
Yeah, I have to say, that's one of the things I really liked about Starbound, is I think the music was really good. And it's definitely different, like, when the music, listening to the music, not playing the game. It's definitely not, it's not that same, like, appeal, but, yeah, for the most part, like, I'm not that huge into, I mean, I'm not that huge into soundtracks or art books, unless it's, like, it's gonna be something that I'm really, like, invested in, like, some realm that I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. At William 0406 said, I finally stopped last year, but still have Dark Souls 2 and South Park limited editions ordered. I mainly care for maps and packaging, like Borderlands 2 loot crate. Space has become limited. I don't care for DLC, mainly just physical items, but not art books.
Yeah, so, man, that's, as far as I'm concerned, it's all about the little knickknacks to get. If there's knickknacks, man, then I don't want.
Yeah, I need shit to put on my shelves. That's what I need. Did you see the Borderlands loot crate thing? It looked like one of the, I mean, it looked like legitimately one of the loot crates from Borderlands. And I think it was like actually really sizable too, but I understand where where William's coming from with that, because he says space is limited, and when you if you're getting things that are like, you know, 2 feet long by, you know, 6 inches tall, it's like, okay, well, how much space do I actually have to set this somewhere?
Sure, this actually kind of like in a way reminds me of like sometimes when we go to PAX.
Oh, totally.
And they give away a lot of like things that are just completely useless. Like, remember the pill, the pill separator?
Yeah. Yeah. What was that about?
But the worst part is that it had like 8 things. Like,
yeah,
only 7 days.
8 days a week. No, but the that made absolutely no sense.
I remember like after a PAX last year, like I had like 3 or 4 shirts and I had like I have these like I have like all these bandanas around from like the aliens and from I'm just like, oh, yeah. I have them. And I look at them and I go like, I don't even know what to do with this. Like, it's just a bandana with a face hugger on it. Like, we're gonna wear this out? Like when I rob a bank or something? Like,
I've got so many of those giant bags. I just like find random shit to put in the giant bags. Like
Torchlight 2 tote bag.
You want? I know. I've got like that new. I have like a new egg. There's so many.
Yeah, you get so much garbage. I feel like I throw away like 60% of what I get at PAX.
I give it away to people, like little stuffed animals. I'm like, yeah, you got a kid? Take this thing. It's like a fucking chipmunk from like Pop Cap or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I definitely have a zombie head that our cat plays with all the time from Plants vs. Zombies.
Mowgli hates that thing. He hates it. Of course, I throw it at him every chance I get. So
my dog ate all the eyes off the zombie head. So
excellent. Well, Max Payne, it did have the flask things that you could get too. That look like magazines, like ammunition magazines. And I definitely got one of those flasks. Not that I've ever used it. It's still filled with gin from that first year, but yeah. T-shirts. That's what I want. Like, I want T-shirts because I wear T-shirts. Like, I think a good like probably 85% of my wardrobe consists of video game T-shirts that I've gotten for free from PAX.
Yeah. But I think, you know, and going back to like collector's editions, I think it comes down to whether or not it's something that I think like usability too also has an effect on it. Like if it's something that you can like actually use,
mm-hmm.
you'd be more likely to get it. Like if it comes with a shirt or something. I don't know. I've never seen a collector's edition that came with like a shirt or anything like that. But I'm guessing that must have been at some point.
Yeah, they do sometimes. I think I think Watch Dogs actually comes with a T-shirt.
Where you pre-order?
I'm just gonna read a couple more of these listener comments. At Max_Templeton says, not a fan of special editions. I understand why they offer them, but never worth the price, in my opinion.
I think that's my general opinion on it.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's.
I mean, I totally see why they're there, and then, like I said, in certain circumstances or certain games, it's totally like, that's cool, because that's like your jam. But like 90% of the time, you're just like, no chance in hell. Like, I'm going to spend. twice as much for like a skin for my gun.
Yeah, you know, and for me, like if I'm in playing WoW and I'm in a group and I see someone has their Zergling or what, you know, a little mini Diablo, I'm like, all right, well, I already don't like this guy. Whoever he is, he's paid extra just to have that little dude. I don't like
him. Exactly. It's not like usually a sign of like cool. It's not like, you know, it's not like the BlizzCon pet that somebody got when going to BlizzCon. It's like, yeah, I paid for this pet. Do you like it? Do you like my pet that I paid for? It's like, so like, almost like pompous. You're just like, I don't want to be you. Like,
yeah.
So.
Well, one of our high school friends, the real Mike Bean, Mikey Bean, he asks, what's a collector's edition extra that you guys wish you could have gotten with a game in the past? And I wrote down, well, I think something that I was probably most interested in was, I wish I would have gotten, when I got Skyrim, there's an edition that you could get that, like a cloth map with, and I thought that would have been actually really sweet because Skyrim was huge and cloth maps just look awesome and you can then roll them up and make them look like scrolls and put them on your shelf.
This is it's kind of related. It's, one of the other things I've noticed is that they start having like store editions. So it's not really like a collector's edition. It's just like the same edition of the game, but if you buy it at Target versus Walmart, it might come with like a different item.
Odd.
And and sometimes that can be. I mean, most of the time it's like I don't care where I get it from, but sometimes they'll have like a. You know, some cool armor that you get, and you're like, oh shit, I should got a Target. Why did I buy it? At Walmart.
I still think the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 night vision goggles are the coolest thing ever. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's just awesome, straight up. Some games have some ridiculously not overpriced, but just like some ridiculously. Like insane collector's edition like compliments. Like Gears of War 2 has a full size like Lancer gun with the like chain on the end. And it was like $150 or something.
Oh my god.
But like a lot of these things, like even like, you know, having like looked all some of this stuff up, like even the Diablo 3 like collector's edition was $100 and it came with the Soul Stone like USB drive, and you're just like, what the hell is this? No, what's a flipping USB drive that looks like a Soul Stone? It was like it still sells on eBay for like $200. Like most of these things like sell for much more than they're worth, like or what you paid for them originally. So like it's almost like worth the investment to like resell these things. Like to buy them. Like make your money back plus some. Yeah, I'll have to do this. Next time there's something ridiculous.
Yeah, totally gonna do that. Yeah, I'm just looking at Google images of all the
all the collector's editions. Have a basement full of them. Be like that guy who's got 10,000 games, just 10,000 collectibles. Probably be worth more money.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Too.
People would spend a ton of money on that kind of stuff if you had like a whole bunch of it together. Yeah, people are all into that shit. They don't know what they're doing with themselves. But I think that brings us to our top five this week, which is the top five worst items to receive in a collector's edition. Number one on that list. Well, first of all, at the real Mike Bean asked the question, what do you guys think of in-game / digital extras versus physical extras? And number one on the worst things to receive and a collector's edition is dumb DLC. Because it is... I was looking at some collector's editions for like PlayStation 4 games, and I was like, oh, maybe, you know, I'm an adult. I'm making a little bit more money now than I was when I was 18 years old. Like, is there something cool that I might actually want to invest my money in? And I looked at, like, you know, Infamous Second Son, and there was like some DLC where you can... make whatever his face is look even more like a hipster than he actually is. So it was just like, it was basically like in-game costumes and like just like small in-game items. Like I think you can maybe wear a pendant. It's like, I don't care that my character wears jewelry. Like this is irrelevant to me. It's just dumb stuff like that's just the absolute worst.
Yeah, I think for me, like when you get a collector's edition, it gives you DLC, but the DLC is for a different game. It's just like, well, I don't want to play that game. I want to play this game. Why are you giving me this?
Right, exactly. I got this game, like the more expensive version, and you're giving me stuff for another game that I have to spend more money on. No. I'm not gonna do that.
If anything, now I'm really not gonna get that because now you just made me mad.
Number two.
Is this a real thing? Is this like from someone's experience?
Say what?
Did someone actually get this?
A Steelbook game cover?
Yeah.
Yes. I've gotten them before. They're fucking terrible. It's like,
oh, yeah,
I think...
those before. I have some games, older
oh,
games.
Oh, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
They're like just that. Like, they're basically just like slip covers over the jewel case, and it's like, why do I want this? It takes up a little bit more space on my shelf, and it doesn't fit like normal DVD game shelving units. It's dumb.
Yeah, it's pointless. It's not really... it's like, oh, we're just going to add a little bit of metal on this.
Ooh, and it's got some like layering to it because it's imprinted a little bit. It like the metal pops out at you. And I was like, I just don't care.
Yeah, but it's metal, so that means it's quality.
Yeah,
quality,
that's right.
Man. You're paying for that.
Yeah, you're paying.
It's made out of Chinese teeth.
are Chinese teeth metal?
Yeah.
I'm just saying Chinese because that's probably where it was made.
They're all the Chinese wrappers. That's where their teeth go. Their grills get melted down and made into video game covers. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's
factual.
100% accurate. Number three is a very specific one that if no one has ever seen this before,
I remember seeing this. I remember seeing this and being like, "Why would anyone get this?"
It's the dumbest thing ever. Okay, so it's the Dead Island bikini torso that you got with the collector's edition, and it was basically like, you know, a full figured female in a bikini, but with her limbs chopped off and her head chopped off.
Yeah. This is a torso.
Where exactly is this, like, an appropriate thing to put on a shelf? Ever.
Good Lord.
I mean, I just don't know.
I feel like there were a lot of mothers who came home to this and were like, oh my god!
my son. Video games are definitely bad for my son.
I mean, like, if you have a dead girl's torso on your desk, like, what does that say about you? Honestly,
you have excellent taste.
I can see your esophagus.
And right next to that should be the Gears of War gun with the blade on it. It's a matching set.
Yep. But it's not like that torso could hold it, so.
No, I just mean you used the gun.
No, I know. number four.
This one. Do you want to do this one?
No, I was going to say this one drives me nuts.
Okay. Well, okay, we'll do it anyways. So this is when you buy a game and you get double EXP for some limited amount of time.
Yeah. Pointless.
This is like traditionally in like, you know, FPSs now, like Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm. It's cost
like double EXP if you buy. Actually, similar to this, there was like I think Modern Warfare 3 had this, where like on Mountain Dews you got like double EXP.
Yeah. Yep.
We went out and bought so many Mountain Dews that week, and then we found out you could only use them on Xbox 360, and you couldn't use them like on PC. So we had all these like wasted Mountain Dew cans. Like, drank them; it wasn't a problem, but shocking.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was gonna say on the same Mountain Dew vein. I remember at one point there was in WoW you could like. You could redeem Mountain Dew stuff, and you got like a little robot. And then if you redeem more Mountain Dew stuff, you like filled up his back. He had like two little backpack like tubes. And as you redeem more stuff, like put Mountain Dew juice into the robot. But I mean, that's a whole nother gimmick right there.
That's excellent.
Sounds awesome.
See, that I would pay for. that I would drink all the Mountain Dew in the world to fill those tubes.
Yeah, I mean the
red dew, yellow dew.
You just walk around, everyone's like, wow, that guy's got a Mountain Dew problem.
Just walking around with like two silos on his backpack.
Yeah. The only time I've really seen a double XP was in Call of Duty, but it's, I don't know, it just makes like, it just means it's gonna be ravenous like that first weekend, and then it's gonna die off after that, you know?
Yeah. I also hate it because it's just like, okay, this is something that they're offering in a multiplayer mode that costs them absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It's just like, they changed the code.
Can you imagine if it was in
a
regular game mode, though? Like, if it was an RPG and they're like, you get double XP if you get to the limited edition, the collector's edition.
Yeah. Like World of Warcraft double XP weekends.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Terrible.
Yes.
Number 5. And it looks like we also have a number 6.
Or 6. Decide which one you like most and say it.
Like, these are both bad. Let's do them both. We're gonna do 6 this week.
Top six.
All right.
Number five is maps for games with linear progressions. So maps for games where you really don't need a map.
That's just the most annoying thing ever. They're like, here's a map of the world, and you're like, I can't even go some places on this thing.
Yeah. Like, cool. There's the country next door that I'm never gonna see or hear about. Yay.
Maybe they'll come out with a sequel that will tell me more about it.
I'm glad that you've got this all projected in your mind, but keep it to your goddamn self.
Yep. And then number 6. Let's do it. This is bad. This is number 6 is cool-looking things in single-player games. This is like having skins for your guns or your guys or anything in a game where other people can't even see it.
Exactly.
So it's like, you can't even show it off. It's like, yeah, I got the golden gun edition. And it's like, really? And you're like, yeah, you come over to my house and check it out.
Yep. Here's a screenshot, see?
With all their, like, oh, you get all these new cool suit upgrades. You get to look like, oh, what was the weirdest one? It was the armor from Dragon's Age in Mass Effect 2. So you can like run around wearing the armor, but it's like, what's the point of this? This isn't a multiplayer game.
Shocking. Or when they actually give you real items, it's like bogus. Like, I think what game had this? Like one of the Saints Rows or something. Like you get tanks and stuff. Like, you start off with a tank, like, that's not fun at all. It's like cheats. Like, who wants to pay for cheats?
No, it was another one that I'm thinking of is Fallout New Vegas, where it was like, the whole point of that game is it's an RPG, so you're trying to level up on your own, and the first things you get is like, I think because I pre-ordered from Best Buy, I got like some like special good armor with this powerful gun, and it was like, I didn't even download it. I didn't want it. I was like, I'm not gonna use that garbage. Like, I want to play the game the way it's supposed to be played, not just like some loot drop that's like gonna make it so much easier.
What always drives me crazy is when you buy a game and then you include some of that DLC stuff, and then it's just included in your inventory regardless when you start at the beginning of the game. Also, the same for quests. It's like, when I went back to start playing Skyrim and you do some of those DLCs, I mean, the quest lines are just popping up in your quest log, and it's like, what the hell is this? Like, can't you at least have some character, like, hunt me down and then, like, harass me about this instead of just putting it in there? It's mainly for items, though. I mean, I play Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2, and you get the DLC, and then you're going through, and you've got start the game over, and you've already got armor and guns and like logs in there about quests. It's like, ugh. You couldn't have thought about this when you're developing that stuff. You couldn't have come up with a better way to put that in the game.
No.
Shocking.
It's all terrible.
Yep. All of it. All the things.
Now, we... I think we have a little bit of time. A couple minutes, we could do an open forum here. And I wanted an open forum on action figures and how awesome fucking action figures were.
Dude, can I just say how awesome action figures are now? Like, yeah. It's fucking ridiculous. You see them and you're like, dude, this... I gotta post. I'll post it with the podcast. I saw an action figure for, like, Batman. Like, you know, Dark Knight, like Christian Bale. It looks like Christian Bale. And, like, and it's even got Alfred, and it looks like Alfred. Like, it literally looks like a miniature, like, sculpture of them. It's just wrong. Like, when we were kids, like, I was lucky if my, like, Ninja Turtles had that right color paint on their elbows. They were just like, I was like, I remember when I got an action figure and the joints moved more than one direction. I was like, holy shit, this thing can rotate in like 180 degrees around in a circle, and like all my other guys were just going back and forth with their arms, and their arms are one thing. Now, like, they got the action figures, like the digits probably move. They probably got like a fleshy outside, like a Terminator.
Yeah, I always hated those action figures where it was like some of the Spawn action figures where they were like in one position, the legs were stuck in one position, the arms were stuck in one position. It's like, what am I gonna do with this? I don't want this as a kid. I want to be able to do stuff with it. I mean, granted, like half of what I did with them was just like pick them up and smash them against other ones, but still, it was just like, I don't know.
I'm trying to remember, like, what the hell did we do with those things? Like, I remember me and my brother had, like, every single Star Wars action figure that ever existed. And it's like, what? And that's, like, the tip of the iceberg, because we had, like, Ninja Turtles, we had everything from Terminator, we had, like, a Jurassic Park. But it's like, did we, like, move them around and, like, move their arms and, like, make them talk to each other and stuff? Did we just, like, smash them against each other? Like, how much did we really utilize the joints on our action figures? Because I don't know that we were, like, moving their arms and, like, moving their fingers to pull the trigger on guns and whatnot.
Well, we used to make videos of action figures when we were younger. Tim and I and Charles and I think all of us actually made videos with these with action figures, and Tim and I actually passed some of them in as as school projects, and which was good.
Yeah, if we could get away with that as schoolwork, then
yeah, oh yeah, definitely playing with toys.
Yeah.
Making shit up. Yep. I think one of my favorite things about action figures when we were younger, though, was like the accessories. Like, the Ninja Turtles, like, lair. And there was,
The Jeep. Or the van.
The Technodrome.
I had the van that shot the pizzas out. I shot those at my dad all the time. He gets so mad. Shoot them out.
Do you remember the Technodrome? The Krang, the brain guy,
and it
was that big circular thing that dug underground. Well, I had that thing, and it split in half, and it was like basically like a Ninja Turtle torture chamber.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
So jelly, man.
Yeah,
I had Krang, but he just sat on that little fucking wheelchair with legs.
Oh, you didn't have like the giant.
No.
The giant guy with him?
That's the thing, is, like, I think all the cool shit, like, all the, like, the environments were the expensive stuff, right?
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
I was, like, I just had the guy, but I couldn't, like, really do anything else. Yeah. Not to tangent a little bit, but, like, speaking of expensive action figures, dude, Power Rangers, man. I spent on, like, getting the whole Megazord and shit? It was insane. I remember, for Christmas, I'd be like, I want it. I got the whole thing one Christmas. Like, all the different ones. I was like, ah! I remember I wanted the Green Ranger so bad. I got that freaking dragon, and the things popped out, and I had the arms with the bullets, fingers, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. So good. I spent so much money on those, though. So, like, that was, like... That was, like, my Christmas every year. It was a new friggin' Zord.
Do you guys remember the Crash Test Dummies? Not the band.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone, I just saw someone posted on that on Reddit, and it had, like, a total nostalgia moment.
Oh, my God. I had the Crash Test Dummy car that had full crumple action on it. And, like... When you'd crash the car, like, pieces would, like, blow up off of it, and it would crush in on itself, but then the crash test dummy that was in the car had a little button on his chest, so when his chest hit the steering wheel, all of his limbs just came off.
they were, like, the best, man. They had such good, like, things, and then I remember I had one, and he was, like, all fucked up. He had, like a wheel for an arm and all this crazy-ass shit going on. And then... Didn't they had like a, they were like, there was like live action commercials for it, but then also, wasn't there like a CG cartoon or something?
Yeah, there was.
Cause I remember it all like, it was all, for us it was just about watching the cartoon, and they were like, yeah, we get the action figures.
It's so funny how like easily entertained we were back then compared to now, you know?
Oh yeah, totally.
We're just like, yeah man, I had a action figure and he had a detachable bow and arrow. You're like, cool. That sounds like shit now. Like,
I could crash the same.
But you know,
vehicle,
that was
like
our number one toy, and we're like,
I'm like, yeah, dude, this guy's got his own clothes. They aren't just painted on, dude. Real clothes. Everyone's like, oh no, shit.
Yep.
Those were the days. Was always cool when they had like a cloth, like an actual a real cape. Not like a hard, a hard fake cape, you know.
That had like the ripples in it, and
yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That
was there was also a bunch of stuff that came with like weird I think it was the Ninja Turtles where it was like it legitimately had ooze that came with it, and the ooze would like drop down on top of the Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
But then it was like, what do I do with this ooze now? I can't put it back into the tube. It's just like
a one-time use. It's a one-time use. You used it once, man. It oozed them, and it was it. You're like, oh, gotta buy more ooze, I guess. I don't know.
And the worst was that you would ooze the Ninja Turtle, and then you. Like, as a kid, you're just like, I'm not gonna wash this, I don't care about it. And then you leave it, and it would just be this crusty Ninja Turtle covered in, like, dried up shit that...
What'd you guys think of, like, the ones that, like, had, like a button that had, like, a motion thing? I hated those ones. I wanted, like, a normal one. I didn't want one... You'd always end up with, like, the weird one that had, like, an arm that you push the button, and the arm would,
and
like...
It goes like this?
Yeah, it would just, like, swing up and down.
I would just like smack something in the face and like slap, 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 slap.
It was always just like a flinging motion.
Yeah.
It was just like ground pound the whole way. Just bang them on top of the head.
Or they'd have like weird things where like their head would like turn and sit into the body and there'd be like a different face. Like.
Oh yeah, those ones were the worst. Yeah, that was like how the Power Rangers were, but they started doing that with other things too, where like the chest would pop out and the head would just spin around.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it'd be a different face, yeah. And you're like, this is awkward.
What about when they started making what about when they started making toys that had like nothing to do with the show or like anything to do with this like the series? Like the Ninja Turtles where it was like, what do they do in their free time? Leonardo is a football player.
Yeah.
and like Michelangelo likes to scuba dive and it's like, what? He's a turtle. He doesn't need like flippers and all this other shit. Like this is where he lives. This is where he comes from.
Maybe he's actually a tortoise.
And that
makes sense. I also had a ton of you're ridiculous. I also had a ton of like alien action figures. Like there was so many different alien ones. There was one
with
the
aliens and predators.
Yeah, I had the predator too.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, that's true. That's a good example of one that like didn't match the movie at all because they like made like a million different alien ones.
Aliens. Yeah.
They were just very forward thinking. Dog alien hybrids. Cat alien hybrids.
It was always like weird, like this is the weasel alien. It would be like this weird ass thing. Like, this is the wombat alien.
This is the Pokemon alien.
And by forward thinking, you literally mean that they just wanted to sell more action figures. So yeah. Just...
exactly.
It's like the guy's version of like Malibu Barbie. It's like, it's like Barbie goes to work. It's like Leonardo goes surfing. There's a surfboard attached to him.
Yep. There's some weird stuff.
But I mean, like that was like really before like video games and electronics like took off. So that was like really what most kids were.
Transformers, you know, were the best.
Yeah.
Transformers, yeah, man.
Toys.
No, of course, making action figures out of Legos is always sweet.
And then blowing them up, Legos. Smashing them.
I could never afford Legos, so I had to get the like cheap-ass Legos that just like hurt your hands and never sit yeah. together properly.
The Duplos.
The blocks with a K and yeah. an X.
A Mega Blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have like, we probably have like 10 grand worth of Legos. God, so oh my God. We had like a giant bucket and we would just dump them out and be like, alright, we're having a Lego night.
I found Legos on the side of the road once. I was just riding my bike, and this was like a couple years ago, and someone was just put them out for free, and I'm like, no way. So I took them home and I sold them on eBay for $135.
Damn.
Oh my God.
Yeah, man, Legos are expensive.
Yeah, they are wicked expensive. But anyway,
there's no reason, by the way, that they should be.
No, there isn't.
Plastic box. I could probably make like a billion of them for like $100. Like literally, that includes like the making the press and the mold and everything. Just like mass produce them for like $1,000 at a Lego factory in here. Anyways.
Yeah. So this brings us to the time in the podcast when we talk about what we've been playing this week. So what have you guys been playing? Tim.
I've been playing a lot of Starbound, and I just reached tier 10, and I'm kind of like bummed out because I feel like...
Tier 10?
Yeah, I feel like I've done everything in the game. Once you hit... so like tier 1 through... You get to like... You open up... you open up like the new star range.
Map, yeah,
yeah, so you get to like X, which is like the fifth one, and then you don't open any new ones after that. You just kind of... like up the ore that you can work with, and it's like super easy. So I just go to like the hardest planets, and then I dig underground, and I just avoid all the mobs, and I just go and get all the ore I need. So I just went up to 10, and like one, I went from 5 to 10 in like a couple hours. But now I've like pimped out armor and weapons, and now I'm
is
like,
is the game more like detailed and have more content, or is it kind of still the same?
I don't know. It's pretty. Like, I never got that far when I played before, so it feels pretty much the same as before, but it's cool to, like...
Sorry, go ahead, it's fine.
No, I was just going to say, at this point, all I've really done is, like, gone and try to find, like unique items and stuff, but it's kind of, I feel like,
and can
feel
you find
burnt
unique
out.
Items?
Yeah, so mainly there's, like, people, like, put coordinates online, so you can use those to go and try to find items. And I've done that to, like, find, like legendary stuff, but, other than that, I don't know. I feel like it'd be more fun if you had like a group of people.
Yeah, because I know like before, like you'd go through dungeons and then there'd be nothing in it.
Yeah,
it's kind of depressing. I don't know if they changed that.
No, yeah, it's still a little bit like that. Like there's definitely not a guarantee that there's an item at the end of a massive dungeon.
All right, well that's cool. But, I'm excited. Yeah. I want to get back in soon.
Yeah, it's cool. It's fun.
Steve, what are you playing?
I've actually recently been playing a couple new games. I started playing Broken Age, which is a point-click adventure cartoony game. I think it's made by the same person who did Day of Tentacles and maybe like those old point-and-click cartoony games back in the day that were really famous. And it's so far, like I got a really good review on IGN. I got a 9.5. So far it's been pretty like well like production and like the vocal like you know the, all the dialogue and everything's pretty cool, but the game itself's been pretty boring. The puzzles are pretty simple. It feels like it's made for like a 10-year-old. It's like watching a movie more than it is like being really doing anything because everything's so simple and straightforward. I've been playing that, and then I've also been playing this new free-to-play game on Steam called Loadout, which is a third-person shooter with that it's kind of like in the same aspect to say like Gears of War or something, but it's like in the style of like TF2 or Team Fortress 2. It's got that like cell shader style, and it's ridiculous. Like, it's, you know, you can like flip people off and shit, and you can grab your junk. It's like really ridiculous. Like when you get shot, like, or when you're low on life, your arm like is like dangling by like a bone, and like when you die you explode and stuff. It's really like, it's really crude, which is kind of funny. But it's free to play, and it has like a, you know, buy coins system where you can change the way you look. So
sweet.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's really overloaded right now and needs a lot of work, but so far it's pretty cool.
Charles, what are you playing?
Since last week I've played virtually nothing. I was so busy last week, and then now I've just been sick, so last 24 hours I've slept 16 of them, so.
That is terrible.
I am hoping to play more Grand Theft Auto 4. And I also it was a Steam deal. It was Kingdoms of Amalur, so I bought it for like $4.
Nice. I have been playing Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, which is pretty good so far. The ship battles are pretty ridiculous. Definitely a highlight of the game. I haven't gotten a ton into the story. It's kind of weird because instead of it being like Desmond and you're trying to find out stuff about the what the hell, the Templars. Sorry, you're like someone working in Abstergo Laboratories, and you're like creating video game environments or some sort of like entertainment environments by going into the Animus and replaying this historical time. It's really weird.
It's not related. It's not related to Desmond at all.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't.
Is the character even an assassin?
Yeah, your character is an assassin, but it doesn't seem as linked to the previous games as the other ones were. Unless, I mean, obviously, I'm not too far in, so that might change, but. We'll see. I also just downloaded Outlast on PS4 because it's the free game on PlayStation Plus this week, which is fucking awesome because I'm ready to get scared real bad. Like, it also is really sweet because the system update today also just gave support to all the Pulse headsets. So my 7.1 surround headset now works with the PlayStation 4. So that will probably scare the shit out of me. Yep. So that's basically all I've been doing. That is it.
Sounds good.
So cool. So that brings us to the end of the podcast. I want to thank all of our listeners for writing in. Purple and Orange, William 0406, Corey Jackson, Max Templeton, The Real Mike Bean. Mikey Bean. And the real one.
Getting rid of all doubt.
And everybody can listen to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and rate us on iTunes so that we can actually have a rating, because we have less than 5 right now. thank you, everybody. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 23. And we are going to say good night.
Good night. Yeah.
I'm actually asleep right now.
Literally, Charles just woke up.
Charles passed out halfway through.
When there's no hope inside, I think he was asleep with his eyes open.
Nice. It does. Slick and spin, and you could stop in. The best man for the job.
Night Gamers.
I'm gonna be sneezing like a motherfucker this entire thing, so you better be ready.
We're so ready, Charles.
I can feel it coming. It's like, ugh. I'm losing all control of my face.
I thought you were gonna say your bowels. I was like, oh god. Losing control of my bowels.